So, and turn on the recorder.
Hi, my name is Joanne Pelletier, and I've had the fortune of working here at the college for about 22 years. I graduated from the program back in the 80s. Priscilla was here then, still here now. So that was obviously an interesting comeback when I first started working here, and many of the teachers I had as a student, these were now my colleagues at meetings. So just a brief story about me. I came to Bristol when the only program that was available was computer programming, because back then that was the only option or flavor that you had. And so I graduated from here and transferred to Rhode Island College, and I thought I would major in computer information systems, because at the time that's what best matched up. It was programming with business. I decided for an additional year I could get a degree in computer science, which was more math-based, as you might know. And it was actually fun to be able to have my toe in with business students in CIS and many real technical folks in computer science. So when I graduated, I had the good fortune. It was a good economic time, so I was offered several jobs. The first of which, and I said this at the last session, I'm from this area, so I live in this area. And most people that are from this area stay in this area, in the greater, say, New England area. So the first job that I was offered was for Early Cloud and Company, who's now owned by IBM. And that would have been a travel job, meaning I would be deployed overseas for any period of, 6 to 9 months in different countries that they were doing business. And that just gave me the heebie-jeebies. I said, oh, I can't do that. So then the next job that I was offered was actually a programming job up near Boston. And we were just mentioning, that there's lots of good options up near the city. And it was a programming job, and it was going to be, sitting in a cubicle doing programming for a business. And after about 2 days, I said, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't not talk to people. I guess maybe the CIS side of me is more of a business, end user support, talking to, visiting with people and not, not coding all day long. So I quit that job after 2 days. So then it was a little while before I was offered another job. And then I was offered two jobs at the same time. And the job that I took was at a college. And it was to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, because, at a small college back in the day, you were helping in the registrar's office when they were starting to do registration, and you knew how to do all the stuff there. You were setting up a network. You were troubleshooting the PCs that were just becoming, being put on everyone's desk, and the terminals were going away. So it was nice because it was never dull, and I was meeting lots of people and doing lots of things. And I just stuck with it. That's what, I always worked at a college. I worked there for half dozen years, and then I came here. And now, while I don't do, I don't program, I supervise a set of them. So I can talk the talk, I just don't necessarily walk the walk. I supervise, folks that are engaged in network stuff, cybersecurity stuff, you name it. All the flavors, help desk stuff, all the flavors for which you can choose to decide on your path. I used to advise in the program some years ago, and when I would meet with students at first, I would tell them my story, tell them that I was in your shoes. I took this class, an iteration of this class back in the 80s, and I say, well, what do you want to do? And I try to tease out with them, because there are, certain differences between if you want to do information systems versus computer science versus networking versus cybersecurity, now a more newer flavor of, the options that we have here. And I try to help tease that out early, because they are very different. So when someone at my house says, you work in IT, you should be able to fix this VCR, we'll go back in the day. Like, no, I don't do that, because they don't understand. You don't just do IT, you do a flavor of IT. So when I talk to advisees, I would always say, if coulda, woulda, shoulda, if I was 18 years old or a returning adult coming back for a degree, I personally would pick cybersecurity. I love the investigative part. I don't want to look at logs all day, but I love the back end of trying to figure out what happened after the fact. So that's just my own personal, and when there are instances of looking at those types of things here, that's when I want to get my hands in, because that's what I think that I would have loved to do I was a student today. So that's my story, and I'm happy to answer any questions about what we do here or my journey to where I am today. So I am a CIO, which I never say what I am because people don't know what it is. So I just always say I'm the head geek, although I'm not really a geek. So that's me. Can I answer any questions? Do you have any complaints? I can take those as well. I do have to say it's a great option working at a college. Yeah. I know it's certainly not, you know.
You get Monday off, for example.
Well, that's what you just saw, yeah. No classes tomorrow and you get Monday off, yes. Yeah. Sure.
What are the interviews for like IT jobs like?
What are they like? Well, they've evolved, I do have to say. So for instance, and it depends. So if I am looking at someone who's going to be a programmer, then I'm going to give that person something to do. And it's going to be something to do hands-on to assess. Not necessarily, and I didn't mention this, but 80% of the folks that work in the IT area here at the college are alums in some way, shape, or form. They may not be IT alums, but they came to this college. Many of them came through this very program. So, personally, I'm not necessarily looking for someone who's going to be that person day one. I'm looking for the growth potential in someone, but I am going to give them something to do to assess whether or not I feel like they are at the point where they will grow with my group. So, expect a hands-on thing. And even for me, ironically enough, the first program, the first job that I turned down, they didn't ask me to write anything to do with code or anything. They asked me to write, like literally, a paragraph, like I was going to do like a business plan. Because that job was working within a team of folks who, some of them would be doing coding, some of them would be doing project management. So they literally had me write something. So it's always good to ask. And I think that actually that shows an applicant being eager, saying, what can I expect as part of this interview? You shouldn't be afraid to ask that. Well, how should I be prepared? How can I best be prepared? I know when I interviewed for this position, I guess that's the investigative piece in me in cybersecurity, I literally did, like, I don't say background checks, but I literally asked who were the people on the search committee, did research about them, about their relationships here at this college. Like, I totally dug into them. That only made me prepare better.
Okay, we're going to move on because we don't have time to do more questions at the end. Why don't we
for the people that are more geeky than me? For the people that are more geeky than me.
Hello, everyone. My name is James Simos. I just got some notes here, so. My name's James. I was born and still live here in Fall River. I'm pretty proud of that. I came over to BCC around 2008 and graduated around 2011. Took a little while. Part of that was a lot of the incompletes I got from Professor Grosser. I'm sitting in your seats, but it was a good journey. Just a little bit, I guess, about me before I get into a little bit of my day-to-day was before I came to BC, I was in Diamond. I graduated in automotive and then quickly realized I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. I thought that I could be doing something better than, like, the idea that these things were manufactured, like, in plants, and then when we were assembling things, these things were assembled entirely before they were put into, like, an engine bay, for example. It was stressful. But I ended up getting my first job while I was still a student here with Priscilla. It was actually at a software startup in Taunton, and I was able to use a lot of my experience in automotive to get the job because they did inventory management for automotive dealerships of manufacturers like Subaru and Kia. So it worked out pretty well. I started that doing like general IT, tech support, you know, helping people out when the machines didn't work or if there was an update that we had to do along our computers. That's how I started, but I was seeing that there was definitely shift happening. There's a lot more demand, and this company was having a lot of trouble holding on to developers. So around the second or third year I was at the company, I decided that I wanted to try doing some programming, and they were using, you know, they were at .NET House, so they were doing a lot of stuff in C#, ASP.NET. And I decided that I would go and try to help out. And I did that over the course of a small little vacation. I came back and I told my, I showed my boss, I was like, hey, Jerry, check this out. I did this for you. You know what you think? He's like, oh, it looks great. It works, right? What do you want to do? It was January, so it was, you know, yearly review time and set your new goals for the year, right? Do you want to go into programming? You want to continue doing the IT thing? And he told me you'd make a lot more money if you went programming and software. So I did. I decided to go that path. A couple years later, decided it was time to move on to another company, and that's when I started looking around, and I moved to my current position, which is at a healthcare technology company called Optum. If you guys watch like Patriots, we're on the scoreboard there. We have our logo on the green monster at Fenway. Our office in Boston is actually right across the street from Fenway Park, but. Yeah, so I went over to Optum, hired as a senior JavaScript application developer. And since then, that's kind of been my career. That's kind of been my path. I'm on path now. Like, my thing now is to help build developers and make the team, get the team bigger. But I still am doing the coding day-to-day. But in my day-to-day, I see a lot of different opportunities and careers, right? Like, we work with data scientists. We work with a lot of ancillary positions, like meaning not so much people developing the code, but the people that help take the code that's being produced to make it valuable, right? People that work with business folks, people that make sure that we're developing the right products that fit into the market, make sure the products make money, managers, QA. That's dying down a little bit. A lot of expectation now is developers write their own tests and release code with quality, meaning that position of throwing the project over to a QA person, that's going away. And, you know, from back in the day, when I was touching physical servers, I don't touch physical servers anymore. Everything's down in the cloud. We use AWS and Azure. So that's kind of like what I do, right? Like, I'm in software development, I'm front-end mostly. Full stack, so meaning front-end and back-end, but mostly all in JavaScript, so we use Node.js in the back-end. I don't need to. No, I'll just tell them. I'll just talk about it and you guys can check it out. So in the last class, what I ended up doing was, so I wanted to actually have something to show you guys, but I didn't really have time to prepare a deck, and you guys don't want to see that anyway, so just we have like cat photos and shit. One of the things that was cool that I think would be interesting, if you guys are interested in going on this path, so Stack Overflow, which is a very big, company on the internet that really is like a location where people have problems with the post, like, hey, how do I solve this? And people will come on and solve it. They do a yearly developer survey. And so I brought up the 2019 developer survey in the last class, and I just kind of skimmed through it. It's very easy just to navigate through. So with an application brought on the left, you can look at, like, you know, technologies, work life, salary, stuff like that. I encourage you guys to look into it.
It's coming up.
Yeah, okay. Right. Oh, yeah. So, if you guys are interested in seeing like what people are doing out there in the real world, this could be a tool to help you focus on what to learn, what to grow. And there's going to be a lot of great speakers here that are going to talk to you guys specifically about general knowledge versus specific knowledge, and you guys are going to have your own questions. But this thing is a tool that you can use to kind of, is this touch screen? Oh, it is. You can kind of see here like what's the most popular out there between all these developers. So, you know, I feel like I'm in a really good position right now. I love my job. I work with JavaScript on the front and the back end. And so you see JavaScript is one of the most popular technologies out there. And this is not going away because they're relying, JavaScript is becoming more and more advanced and more organized. And then if you, for example, if you look at like what's most dreaded, right, like you probably want to, you know, I'm not saying avoid these, but know that, you know, the shifting, the mindset is like people don't want to be working with these, so managers eventually will catch up and they'll be like, all right, we have to move on to something else. So there's nothing wrong with PHP. I mean, you know, WordPress is one of the most popular CMSs on the planet. Billions of websites are powered by WordPress. I use WordPress to deploy all of my marketing sites, and that's written in PHP, but just keep that in mind. And then, you know, I think this is a big one.
for this part.
So there's a lot of information here, like industry, company size. There was another one here that was just like, this is a pretty big one, I think. Like, do employers, developers need to become managers to make more money? 51% developers say no, and I would agree with that statement. I don't think you do. I try to make more than my manager. And then the other one, which I think was great, that I want to show you guys was just about, but it was basically like how satisfied are you with your job, right? And majority of developers are satisfied with their jobs. So, I mean, you guys are in a good spot to learn, and you're surrounded by great people. And one of my other biggest passions is to actually like create something here in Fall River that will be to bring jobs here, because I have a lot of money invested here. I have family here. I want to bring jobs here. And so like one of the things that I do time to time is I'll do like a meetup group over at the Vic on Columbia Street, and I do it through this company that I started called Poco. If you guys want to check out that website, it's a shameless plug, but it's Poco Studio, and then so it's PocoStud.io. Separate the IO from the studio, PocoStud.io. And so like I'll do things where like bring people to like meetups to talk about things, check out latest technology, stuff like that. And I think that's pretty much it.
I want to write that on the board.
Sure. And then, you stick around if you guys have any questions. Thank you.
Just stay in while we do last time so we have answers.
Hello, my name is Carolyn Dorsky. I work at State Street Bank. It's a big wealth management company, not a commercial bank. It's a global company. It's huge. My office is in Quincy, but I'll just jump to this right away because I didn't say it last time. I was here 4 years ago and got my job right out of here. And was not very happy about commuting out to Quincy 5 days a week, but I took the job anyhow, and it's worked out really well because after the first year, then I could work from home 3 days a week, and then the next year I could work from home 2 days a week, and now I'm working from home full time, so no more commuting. I'm 24 and 128, thank goodness. So when I came here, I did something a little bit different than most. I did a certificate in computer programming because I already had a bachelor's degree in computer information systems, but my bachelor's degree was from a long time ago, and I had worked for a few years, and then I just was a stay-at-home mom, and I stayed at home much longer than my kids, so I was a stay-at-home mom for 25 years. They were long gone, but... So I needed to, in order to get back into working, I needed to do something to brush up my skills and get my resume to kind of pop a little bit. So this worked out really well. Learned a lot. It was a little scary, but I learned a lot. And I'll jump back a little bit. Again, when I first went into computers, the reason why I went into it was because my dad said, well, you like puzzles, so maybe you'd like computer programming. And he was right. Because I had never, back then, you know, we didn't have phones, we didn't have computers in our homes, nothing like that. I had no experience in high school with it. And so it was really just a new field, really. And it worked out then, and it worked out again. So it's a good field for... job security. There's always an opportunity out there. You can go to any industry has programming pretty much. You don't have to be limited by what you know a lot about. Like, so I work in a finance company. I hate finance. didn't stand it, but luckily I don't really need to know finance in order to do programming. I just need to be able to use my head and do some logic and puzzle things out. So I know I said a lot more last time. I can't think what I said then, so I guess that's it. Oh, I didn't say a little bit more about what I do. So I actually work with Access databases, and I develop these small, they call them critical tools for in-house teams. The one I'm working on right now is going to go live this week, so I really shouldn't even be here. But and what it is for this team, when they bring in new accounts or renewing accounts, they have certain markets where different documentation is required, and the client has to fill out that documentation in order for their stocks, basically, to be renewed. And so we get an Excel file with all these different funds and clients, and we load that up, and we pull some information from other places, and then we fill up the documents that they have with, or that they're required to have, with their information, and create a bunch of emails and send those out to the clients so that they have that documentation. And then if they don't send it back in promptly, they keep getting reminders, automatic reminders from the database. And then the in-house team also can track where that is, because it goes from like the client to the sub-custodian here and there. It goes into different queues. So that's pretty much what I do. I designed, this is just my database, I work alone. And there's teams all over the world that are using my databases. So when we have a meeting, it's kind of funny now, because pretty much like most people work from home now, and you have these WebEx meetings, and you know, you've got people from India and Germany and all over the place on these calls. So it's kind of interesting that way. Yeah. Yes?
Did you feel like prepared enough with this certificate, or would you have preferred doing associates?
I would have preferred doing associates, but I didn't want to take the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And since somebody talked about the interview, going in for an interview and how you present yourself. So two things about that. So on my resume, you know, the certificate, I didn't have a class that really did that much with Access database. I don't even remember which class we did it in, but there was only one semester, one class that I did it with. But I put it there on my resume. And then put everything that you have some familiarity with on your resume. And then in the interview, if they ask, well, how much do you know about this? Don't lie, because you don't want to be caught like that. But, you know, just don't say, oh, I didn't really know anything either. You know, talk about it and what you did and how well you did with it and what you like about it. You know? And then also in my interview, it was kind of funny. They asked me, well, before going to the interview, to describe how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so I got into such detail on that description. I mean, I wrote a page about how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I think they like that, because programming is all about detail work. And you probably all know, every little detail counts. You know, if you're missing a character, of parentheses, whatever, they can hold you up for a long time to find that. Unless you're lucky enough to have that code that finds it for you, which I don't have. So that's it from my story. Thank you.
So, good afternoon. My name is Francisco Becker, and I'm a senior cognitive computing engineer for Fidelity Investments. I don't even know how to explain that title, but that's what they call me. Anyways, I I came here at BCC for my associate's in computer programming, and I graduated back in 2012. And I've been working in the tech field as a programmer ever since, and I love it. Before I started here at BCC, I was working odd physical labor jobs, and I had a friend who was doing computer programming, and I think he had started this class and another one where it was more hands-on, and he said, you should come, you should try it, you would like it. And then I did, and I fell in love with it. I was always good with computers, but this is the first time I actually learned how to program, and I actually, you know, programmed my own code. And I just thought it was amazing. Like, I could, you know, write these commands in the computer, which is execute, and then hop into servers and things. I thought it was, like, really cool. And that's pretty much what I do nowadays, but, you know, in a more advanced, more in detail. I had an interesting career progression, and it's still evolving. So when I was going to school here, I was doing really well, and I was still working full-time, doing labor job and going to school. And then Professor Grosser appointed me to some job interviews, and I started working at a place in East Providence. And at this place, they needed someone to kind of take care of their websites. And long story short, it was mainly front-end focused, but very basic. So then my drive, you know, I was like, I need to advance. I want to go and work, do something more advanced. So then eventually I did. I started working in this interactive design agency, which was really cool because I was like the tech guy working with the designers, but still mainly focused on front-end. So front-end, what I mean by front-end is writing code for the web browser and communicating with the web server. Then eventually I started, I wanted to keep advancing, but I wanted more back-end interaction, so then I took another job, and I got that. I got that Explorer, worked with very talented software engineers, and then eventually, you know, they had me working with technologies that I found that I didn't like to do, which was, you know, at that time Java, and I wanted to pursue something else. And then I took another job, and eventually found my way into something that I really love to do, and that I'm currently doing now. And I've been at the same company now for the last 5 years, and I love the tech stack. It's a big part, but I also like the work that we do, and I progress so much that I feel like I'm fully knowledgeable about the software development cycle and what it takes to build, you know, a product. But it all starts here, right, with the little things, the basics. So coming here to BCC, I got my associates. I still have that. I do take certifications on the side. I think it's important to specialize here and there and advance your knowledge and your curiosity. And also to always keep polishing up your resume. You never know who you might need it. Someday you might come into work and say, hey, I'm done. You know, I'm moving on. I got to find something else. I got to make more money. So it's always important to have your resume prime and ready to go, because you never know when you might need it. And the other thing I was going to say is, the last thing I was going to say, that, yeah, this experience here coming to BCC changed my life. Like, I don't know what I would be doing. And it's always good also to kind of just follow your interests, follow your gut feelings, and take time, you know. Sometimes, like, when I graduated high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do in college, and I took some time off before I went to college. And that, in between that time, I kind of steered, life just steered me towards what I wanted, even though I didn't know that's what I wanted. So I feel like it's important, like, to, especially if you're young, don't be in a rush, you know. Just find something that interests you and that compels you, that calls you into, or draws you into it. And that's all.
Thank you. Are you safe with the lights?
So, hey, I'm Pat. I work for a company called Progress Software. I was sitting in your seats between 2013 and 2015. Took all the classes that Priscilla gave you. I know the future, what holds and what you guys got coming up. It's going to be a lot of work, but you guys will do just fine. So how I started coming to DCC, I actually have a bachelor's degree in geography, and I specialized in geotechnology and urban and regional planning. I was working for a firm that worked with historical area photography throughout the U.S. And what happened was essentially a big company ate the little company, and I got laid off. It was like the second time. And at that point, I needed to find work either in the environmental engineering or in computer science. I came to BCC to take a look and see what they offered, so I figured I needed some more education. So it took months to try to find work and couldn't find anything. I ran it. The environmental engineering department's great. I talked to them. It was awesome. Talked to Professor Gross and was like, "Do you think this can help me find a job?" She's like, "Depends on you. You know, you're going to have to do the work. Let's see what happens." So I was like, "All right, let's see how it goes." I went the computer science route because I always liked computers. And I loved it. You know, I went through the intro, took Igor, went all out, and got an associate's in computer science. In the middle of it, I went for the co-op, which is like an internship thing they had previously with the town of Wareham in the last semester of my being here to prep up to get networking going. And I worked with the IT director there, who actually had Professor Grosser in the past, which was awesome. went through that, you know, because of the networking and everything, I had like 3 jobs lined up, roughly. By the time I graduated on May 30th, I got a job June 1st at Progress Software as a tech support engineer. In my career, too, I went the programming route. In this end, I work with clients. I work with JavaScript client-side libraries, essentially like buttons and text boxes and drop-down lists and things like that. We have our own library that's all been made custom that works with that kind of you know, situation with web applications. And essentially, people call us in and I handle tickets. But it's not like I get like 100 calls a day. It's more like I get like maybe 3 or 4. And we have like high-end customers, like people, for example, I'm a geek, so when we got a call from NASA, I was pumped. So, you know, it's fun to work, and I work with a bunch of different people, a bunch of, honestly, geniuses in my head. These guys all know what they're doing, and it's pretty crazy. For instance, one guy works with Microsoft on the side, and he works, you know, doing a lot of stuff internally with them. But essentially, you do get a lot of perks when you work in IT. For example, I have a standing desk. It goes up and down with a little button on the side, and if I want to get up, I can get down. We have a break room with a pool table, foosball table, Xbox 360. If you go into the kitchen, there's candy all over the place, nuts. There's coffee right over here. There's a water machine. There's beer in the fridge. There's food every other Wednesday. Every Friday, we get our meal for free. You know, it's awesome, and they encourage it. I have infinite vacation and sick time. All benefits, because the company cares for the employer. You know, you got to work hard to get there, but it's good benefits. What else can I say? So getting that job was very, like, because I got the in from a friend of mine. He told me about it, and I was able to get the interview. I sit down, and it's a conference room. 2 guys, the dude I was talking about who works with Microsoft, another guy who just left our company to work for Amazon, is on the other side. And he got in front of me, a big freaking screen, and a guy who's from Bulgaria named Holky. He looks like this. He doesn't smirk at all throughout the entire interview. No emotion. It was just straight. It was intimidation and a half. And through it, you know, they're asking me questions left and right. And at one point, they say, "All right, I need you to do a quick a quick program, like a quick logic puzzle. It's called Fizz Buzz. For every third multiple, you do Fizz. For every fifth, it's Buzz. And if it's both, it's Fizz Buzz. And you had to write it down on a piece of paper. Is this good? That was on the spot. At the same time, they give you an assignment beforehand to test you out to see if you actually know what you're doing. In this case, I think it was JavaScript to jQuery that I was specializing in. So it was a crazy experience in that. Throughout it, as time went on, coming here was a baseline. You get your JavaScript, you get your front end and your back end, which means like front end's like, you know, JavaScript, jQuery, stuff on the browser. Back end's more like C#, VB, C++. It's a little different. It's separate worlds but work together. So you get that baseline here, and you go out, and then you get, like, you beef up because you have to learn. You have to learn on the spot. I deal with clients who are like, hey, so how do I deal with this? And you know, I'm like, oh, gosh, Google, what is that? And I go into it, and I find out. I put it right into what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, this works fine. Here you go. And I show them how to do it on the spot. Thank you, Stack Overflow, whatever I've got in front of me. You have to keep your logic going. You have to keep your brain functioning and moving and going. And you're always challenged, and it feels really good every day. For me, it feels really good every day to just go and work at something that keeps you going. I mean, like, otherwise, if you imagine, I used to work, so when I was going here, I had a summer job at Kmart. It was monotonous. It was just, all right. This job, it's so much better. You're open, and it's open and available to you. Find people, network, talk to people. Because of networking, through my job, that guy who works for Microsoft helped me actually speak there last summer for the Insider Developer Tour. And I was talking about progressive web applications I hadn't learned in a month. But it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. I now know how to do that, and that's really fun. Just quick show of hands, who are programmers? Who are networkers? Who are security? And who are game developers? Okay, cool. This is going to be a challenge, like straight up. This job is, being in IT, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you guys are in a good spot, secure. But you got to do the work. You got to just get over that hump. You get there and you work really hard, and I mean that, and you network and you talk to people, and you don't just sit in one spot saying, this is my JavaScript, I like my JavaScript. You gotta keep moving forward and learning more stuff, because if you don't, you're just stuck. And you gotta make yourself more valuable and challenge yourself to get out of the box. You'll get some good jobs, you'll get out of where you are right now. You know, even for myself, I was working at Kmart for the summer job there. My wife and I were living in a dingy little apartment. My mom was going to the hospital and all sorts of stuff at the same time I was going to school. And, you know, it was really tough. It was a really tough situation for myself when I was going through school. But thankfully, you know, going through everything and focusing, getting the work done, getting through school, getting through whatever. I've got a good job. I'm secure. I have a 3-year-old now. My mom's fine. Everybody's doing good. You know, everything, you know, it's just, you just got to push forward and have hope and you can do it. It's going to be tough, like I said, but you can do it if you want it. If not, it's okay, because there's other careers too. You will find your direction. This is only an intro. You'll get there. So, that's it.
I said to the last class, you're probably wondering why she got an old man up here to talk. My story is a little different than everybody else's, because I was in textiles my whole life. Just to show you that this can be a success story, I lost my job because I couldn't speak Chinese. So pretty much everything went overseas. And I was at a crossroads I still had a family to support. I still had a mortgage to pay. I still had creditors that wanted, you know, my bills collectors weren't letting up just because I was going through a hard time. So I had to make a decision. And I'm grateful. Like I said, this is, to me, is a success story, because this coming January, a couple months away, I'm going to celebrate my 10th year working at Meditech. Meditech is a software company where one of our biggest, not biggest, because we have about 3,500 people, but one of our offices is right down on Route 6 and Brighton Ave, right where they meet there. And I don't know, all I can tell you is I've had a good time there. This is all that I want to tell you. When I came here, and let me tell you why I came here. Number one, when you're in your mid to late 40s and your career suddenly is no more, you got to do a lot of self-evaluate. And when you have to find a job that pays well and has a future, what are you going to do? So I kind of look things over, and I have to tell you, I was very fortunate at that time, because a lot of people were losing their jobs to exports. Everything was going overseas. So the government had a program that they would pay for 2 years of education. So I looked at the list, and I decided I didn't want to be a nurse's aide. I didn't think I'd make a good dental hygienist. And I went down the list, and I'm like, I need something that's going to provide a future. And then I saw computer programming. And I want to tell you, it was partly a process of elimination, because, like I said, I didn't want to lose my job again. I wanted something with a future that paid decent. And I knew, because when I grew up, we still had the dial phones, okay? So I saw the progress that we've made. And I knew that computers weren't going to go anywhere. And if you're going to get into something, my only regret is that I didn't do it right out of high school. Because all my friends who did do it right out of high school, most of them are already retired. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I didn't. So here's what happened. I tell you, I was in textiles. One reason I decided to come here, first of all, because I went down that list and it said computer programming. I thought, well, that's the place where I can make a living. That's a place where I'm not going to lose my job again. And then I had two availabilities. Well, actually, there was quite a few of them. But the two highest ranked were BCC and what was the other place I slid over in Warwick? New England Tech. Yeah. And BCC was just a nudge rated higher. And on top of that, it was closer to me, so I'm not going to go to Warwick. I mean, it was pretty much a no-brainer. So I decided to come here, okay? What I knew about computers, you could probably write on the top of a thumbtack, okay? I didn't know a lot, but I did know this much, okay? And this is what kind of yanked me in, because I ran a textile mill. Down in Pennsylvania, when I was in charge down there, we used to have we'd have re-dye rates. In other words, you dye all this fabric, and a certain percentage of it, you're going to re-dye it, because it was going to come out blotchy or streaky or something, dye stained, something wasn't going to be right. We were about 7%. Industry average was about 9%. So we were better than average, but I made a decision to buy a software. A friend of mine talked me into it to run my dye house. And in that, we documented every type of fabric that we were dyeing, all the dyes with their prices, their concentration, everything. All my formulations, I could figure it out by grams per liter or whatever. I had everything down to a science. And I put that into the capacity of the machines, how much water they held, and it really turned dyeing into a science. My redye rate, I was already better than average. We were well under 2%. We were just a whisker over 1%. Nobody ever heard of that. It was crazy, and it was just this software. So I was kind of, that kind of excited me, because I thought, if I can design something like that, like this was just a database, and I was plugging in information in. I thought that would excite me. And that's the other reason that I chose computer programming. So I won't get bore you with my long story. I can tell you, Meditech, yeah, I really like working there. I work in the update group. We help hospitals. That's what Meditech does, by the way. We have the software. We make software for hospitals. We have all kinds of different applications from the time you pre-register until the time you get your bill in the mail at the end and everything in between. EDM, emergency department management, to OR, to scheduling, to nursing applications, right on down the line. I don't know all of them, but I know mine. And I work in MIS, which is Meditech Information Systems, and we kind of handle the dictionaries that all the applications reference. But you know what? My job, I like it because it's a challenge, and I see that same stuff happening. Like, for instance, I told this in the last class, when I first took over, it was between 4 and 6 hours that it would take us of downtime for a hospital when we would go live with their new update. By the time, well, today, it's down to about 10 minutes of downtime. So, and it's all because we have to write these utilities. We do our normal job, but we also wrote utilities to do everything we do just a little bit quicker and to automate everything. So it's been a lot of fun. And seeing the same principle where software can help a lot of people. But that's not why I want, that's why, not why I come back every time. I come back every time my professor Grosser asked me, because I was honest enough to tell you, I knew nothing when I came. And I made up my mind when I came here, I was like, I can't fail. I don't have a choice. If I fail, I lose my house, I lose, you know, who God knows what else I lose. I can't afford to fail. And I made up my mind that I had to work harder and whatever than anybody else. And I went here, okay? And I always say this to every class. I sat where you did. And I can tell you what I thought when I sat here. Every semester, every class I had with Professor Grosser, I would sit and I would say, oh my God, she gets way, way too much homework. This is crazy, man. Doesn't she realize that I have four other classes that I'm taking? Come on. I can't spend every waking minute programming. Let me tell you something. If this is a profession that you want to do, that is the best preparation you can have. Because I can tell you, it's really, really rewarding. It makes you feel really good when you've solved a problem just by using logic, whatever. When you've solved a big problem for a hospital or for whatever company you're doing work for, there's a lot of satisfaction in it. A really lot. But, oh, not only that, but the pay is well above average. And the odds of you getting laid off, well, if you really do it smart and you go software, or I shouldn't say software, I should say IT related anything, and mix that with a health care, those two areas, you're never going to lose your job. Okay? So that's a good way, that's a good place to be. That's another reason I like Meditech. Never laid off a person in their entire history. Ever. There's maybe been a handful of firings. I can think of maybe three people. But I can promise you this, he deserved it. He deserved it. That's all I'll say. But no one's ever been laid off because it's a precious commodity. I mean, you need people to make it all work. And, you guys are a valuable resource. What you're learning here, I'll just tell you this. The work sucks. I don't know a nicer way to say it. It's not fun at times, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do it, if you're going to succeed in this area, you got to pay the price. And this prepares you like nothing else. It really does. The amount of work that you have to do, you think that it's brutal, you think it's not fair at times. I'm telling you, it prepares you for the real world. And I'm also telling you, if you like that aspect of, and I'm speaking from a programming point, of designing a software, or even in my case, I don't necessarily design it, but I'm always, my actual title is programmer / analyst. So I'm always looking for number one, a way or to write a utility that we can do our job better. And number two, anybody ever write a program and the very first time that you wrote it, that it worked perfectly? No, nobody has. And I can tell you, the big boys haven't either. Nobody has. And I can tell you this, no matter in the medical field, we better do a lot of testing with our software because it can be life or death. I can tell you, no matter how much testing we do, some hospital will find a way to break it. And when I say they'll break it, it still use it in a way that just like, what? That's how you use our software? Like we never even considered that possibility. So my job in the update group, We have three copies of a hospital's code, and I don't want to drag this on forever, but we have their code in what we call in-house, which it's on our servers, and then we have a copy. They have a test ring. This is before it even goes live. This isn't what the doctors and nurses are using. Then we have a test ring. So first we update their in-house ring, then we push that to their test ring. And they'll usually take at least 3 months to test it, everything thoroughly, make sure everything's working all right. And then we go live with it. And I promise you, like I said, there's going to be problems. Nothing ever goes 100% smoothly, usually. I'm telling you, the strides have been amazing. But that's one of the things I like about my job, too, because I'll get called up from a hospital. Even that's not true, because we're very specialized. So even though I'm an MIS programmer, I don't even know all exactly how MIS works. But we have another group called specialists, and their group, their job is not to do anything with coding, but they know how that everything's supposed to work exactly. They know how to run that software in and out, what this one talks to this one, talks to this one. So they'll just call me and they'll say, hey, this is what it's supposed to do. This is what it's doing. And they'll say, here's how you reproduce the issue. So once you have all that, then you just got to find, all right, where's the code that it's hitting? And my job is pretty much to parse through the code and say, oh, I see why it's not working right. And, a lot of weird stuff happens, that's all I can tell you. It's a lot of fun. So if I find an issue, sometimes I'll submit what we call a dev ID, which is to fix a bug. Sometimes it's just a matter of a setting or a parameter not set right. But by parsing through the code, I can figure all that stuff out. And that's pretty satisfying. You know, when they can't prescribe medication for a patient and you can get it fixed for them in 15 minutes, that's pretty satisfying. It's also pretty stressful, but that's another story. So that's all I really want to tell you guys. You can do well. You've made a good choice, and you've also, in my opinion, you've made a good choice coming here. Because you're going to have to succeed, you're going to have to pay the price. And if coasting is what you want to do in life, I'm just going to warn you up front. Find another profession. Maybe there's something else that you can do, but this is going to be hard work, and you're going to be learning something new every day of your life, pretty much from now on. But it's fun. As crazy as that sounds, it's a lot of fun. So, and if I, as an old man, can do it, dude, you guys, you have a lot of strength, man, compared to this old bug, you know? So, you're at a good spot, that's all I can say.
Well, thank you. I'm going to ask other people to come up and you can do questions. So be thinking of questions you have.
One other thing I have to say about Meditech, because I forgot to in the first class, one of the nice benefits at Meditech is if I refer somebody and they get hired, I get a $3,000 bonus. So if you all ever want a job, you graduate here and you're looking, just give me a call. I got no problem with that. I'll look out for you. I've cashed in on that 3 times so far.
You don't talk about the lobster parties in the summer?
What's that?
A lobster parties in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Big. Each employee, a couple thousand lobsters they get.
Big carnival.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, some brave soul asked a question.
How many hours do you guys put in a week?
And I think it depends. My experience, the stages you're going through. I feel like if you're just starting a job, you're still learning, you're going to work more hours. But I would say an average, like, between, you know, 40 and 50.
Yeah, I'll say the same.
Yep.
Since I've been working from home, I tend to put in more hours, work a little bit later, you know?
Yeah. Never more than 50, I would say, for myself. Working at home does make a difference, because you can just sit down and you're at work. That's pretty cool.
And if you're thinking about something in the evening, when that's it a good pops point. Up, you can just log back in.
Yeah.
Try it out.
You say, you know, 40-hour work week, but then, you know, things happen. So then you stay longer. That's how it goes. It's the way of the work, you know.
Yeah.
For me, it's, if I work on the weekend, so my boss likes me to let her know whenever I'm working extra hours, and she'll be like, oh, you know, if you need to leave early on Friday, take a half day, whatever, you know, so that's kind of nice.
Okay. So, and I've spoken to two of you before about JavaScript, and it just seems like the more we get further and further here, now I have three people in front of me who work with JavaScript or some variation of a library of JavaScript. And I believe it was you last time was saying there was a certain, was it React or one of the JavaScript libraries or something was very prevalent in where you're at. Is that still hold true? Is that ship still sailing as far as JavaScript being that top?
So yeah, JavaScript has taken over in an amazing way because it was always kind of looked as like the little brother of all the languages, but then people started noticing how really modern and powerful that language really is, and it's actually easy to pick up. But I recently, like, for the past 5 years, I started off in the front, and I was part of the JavaScript boom when it, like, became really powerful. and I learned a lot, but then I transitioned into doing JavaScript in the back end using Node.js. And like someone like James or
Pat,
Pat can speak more about to the, you know, what is prevalent now in the JavaScript world and the front end web browser world.
So you've spoken to Angular.
Yeah, I think React now has been very popular, right, Pat?
Big time. Angular, React, Vue. It just depends on the place and what they're using it for. One thing you'll find definitely in this field is that trends come and go, and they also evolve a lot. .NET has gone from 3.0 and had its own things, and I think 4.6, I think, and now they're going to the core, and they're... You got Blazor. There's so much. You have to stay on your toes about what's happening. But it's with JavaScript, Angular is very popular. React, the Facebook one, is also popular. Angular, Vue, Vue. What else is there? There's a lot, man. you just gotta stick on your toes.
I guess like the biggest question on that is like, who do you? I'm assuming you have a group of peers that you trust as far as. Because if you go on Google right now and you type in what's a popular language, you're going to get 7,000 different results. And I'm coming up on the end of my tour here. I'm going to be starting taking interviews and, you know, essentially just trying to find, to make sure I have the base that I need. You know, how do you stay on top?
I feel like I read this article once and that was really awesome. And I totally relate to it. You gotta be solid on the foundations and fundamentals. And then if JavaScript's your language, be solid on JavaScript, like I said, right? You really understand it down to the science. Because all these frameworks are all built on that language. So once you, I've worked with a lot of people, I know Angular, I know, like, I'm really good at it. And then you go look at their code, it's not really up to par. Like, they know how to use the framework, but they don't really understand how the language. So, like, really, that's the best thing to do is have the foundation, because every time you go to a job, they're going to be using a different framework. So, a lot of these frameworks, you learn how to use them while you're at the job, really.
You want to try to master something, like, specific. Mine was jQuery, JavaScript, when I got this job. As time goes on, you evolve, and you get more. Like, I didn't know Lisp, C#. I now need to know it. I work with MVC. The server side, and DB, I learned here, and I was able to learn, because I understood DB, I was able to understand C# better, and same thing with C++, they're all object-oriented languages, have like kind of like the same logic, you can kind of follow along, same thing with JavaScript, everything kind of has this like pattern, and it just, you kind of go with it, and as long as you stay logical, and you stay within the realm of what's happening there, and you follow the rules, you can make anything.
There are a lot of factors that go into making the right choice to what tool to use, finding the right tool for the problem they're trying to solve, right? So when you come into a position and you're especially like just a developer, you're going to rely heavily on your team, your tech leads, and your manager to make a decision. Like you won't go to a team, and if your team's using React, you won't be able to use Angular. Like you'll have to go with React. So at your stage, I mean, you should just find whatever you think is the most fun right now, and just love doing it and do it.
Well, they're all fun.
Yeah, they are.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. You ask me.
Wait to the day where I actually say, hey, you know, you get to do this. This is what we use. So here you go. Perfect. Let's go. You know, I'm looking forward to that day. I just want to make sure I get to that day.
It will happen. Like Terry was saying, there's a demand out there. There's not enough people to fill the jobs.
Right. Yeah, and... to James' point, if you just want to like learn on your own, I believe from what I've seen, Vue is nice. It's not very opinionated. It's more flexible. I feel like it's good for a beginner or learner. I don't like things that are too constrained, even with my experience. Like I've used Angular and I've never really enjoyed. I was more of a backbone guy, you know, and still am. Like if you build whatever backbone, but now backbone's old. Kind of things coming. Yeah, it evolves, yeah.
Yeah, you better evolve with it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
If you think you're going to graduate here and know all you need to know, ain't going to happen, man. Those programmers get lost in the dust.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are, they get laid off or whatever. Yeah, you got to stay.
Well, so where you work, is it all in-house programming or do you have outsourcing?
So I work at Fidelity. It's mostly in-house. It's very hard for us to use something. We use technologies that enterprises might provide us with, like Oracle and things like that, or even at some point work with IBM. But we don't do. We've been working a lot of open source. Open source meaning like it's out there free to the world. But what that means is, okay, we use the open source, but we build our own proprietary software that it's not seen by anyone or shared to any other third parties. Yeah.
Similar. It just depends on the product too. Like we work, for example, UWP. We work with Microsoft. We made it open source. Our Kendo UI libraries, not open source, but you can probably decipher if you needed to. There's like all sorts of different things. You know, there's some things that are open that can be changed in what you need to do. There's some things that are internal and depends on what it is.
Yeah. One of the things when I was hired and I developed this tool, so they had bought a software package out and were using it and were paying yearly fees on it. And so then they had me design this thing to do it in-house. And then they touted that, they brought me on, and I was saving them over $200,000 a year. It's like, what? Why aren't you paying me that?
You have a question, Matt?
Yep. Will you guys look for the entry-level jobs while you're still in a school? Or you'll finish the school and then in the field? I'm asking, in the field.
My whole career has always been like, I wasn't able to sit on a grassy knoll with a guitar and like enjoy my time in college, right? I was working the whole time.
Well, I'm working full time, but different job.
Oh, it's okay.
Not into IT.
Yeah. I mean, is your plan to go into IT?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So is your question, should you be looking now?
Correct.
Yeah, you should be.
When you look at the jobs,
yeah.
it all require some, work experience, which is,
Right, but your experience is here at school too, right?
Well, it's going to be.
You can use that.
Well, it's up to you.
If you go in a call center and deal with the tickets, that's a great experience.
Yeah.
Because you're going to deal with fixing the problems, right?
But I would imagine that, Terry and Pat, that they have probably known so much more about their role and their company because of seeing those low-level issues, like those end-user issues.
And then brings you the experience to go to the next, level to next.
Yeah.
But you were all looking already into the field while you were studying.
Well, I was towards at the end. That's when I started. It all depends it all depends what you want to do. Sometimes the job can be demanding, and then if you want to finish a degree, that's also something that's another goal that you might have, right? And then that will pay off in the future once you decide to move on, maybe to a different position, because it is good to have a degree whatever certification it is that you're working on.
I can speak definitely, man. When I first joined into BCC, the first thing was, does it have jobs? What's everything looking like? So I researched hard to try to figure out what's a good field to be in, and wanted to use it with what I had as well. And as time went on, like probably about a year in, I was kind of looking a little bit, what kind of jobs are there? What kind of jobs? Oh, it's a computer programmer, okay. I just kept doing that kind of thing. Just looked at like what's required to get an idea of what it's like. And then, as the year, my last year progressed, I decided to ask people about, are there any job openings? What is there? You start asking questions. You start going, are you going to be available then? And then as time gets closer, things will become more available to you. You'll see where to look. and then toward the end, you're in. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And this is, I think, for any profession. Sometimes people take too long to look at the job market. They don't really understand what, you know, people are really looking for skill-wise. So it's good. Yeah, it's definitely good to look at those job descriptions to know more or less what it is that the employer is looking for.
Yeah. Like, I was supposed to be, when I got out of school the first time, I wanted to go into meteorology, but I didn't know you needed a master's for it. So I was like, all right, crap. And then I went to GIS, loved it, but then there's no jobs. So I was not ready.
Third time you're going to research.
Yeah, second time. And you know, you start, you'll change your profession as you want. I started as wanting to be a music teacher. And then I went to going into geography. And then I was kind of curious about speech, language pathology. Went back to mapping and computer science. And then, round and round we go.
It's good to be networking, even now while you're at school. Making connections with your peers and with your professors and the mentors.
Yeah.
That's going to be what gets you in the door. Usually, right? That helps.
Usually.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Me?
Are you on LinkedIn?
No,
so if anybody is serious about getting software, like, that's where I find, like, you know, I'm sure that the people up here will say the same thing. That's where all the recruiters are right now. That's yeah. That's where they're finding people, and I'll probably get half a dozen job, requests to apply for a job a week.
Yeah, that's good. And then on LinkedIn now, they just update many features where you can, like, switch on your status, where, like, you're open to look for new roles and things like that, so it kind of just, you know, it helps you bring the jobs to you, right? Which is nice.
It's nice. Yeah. And the ball's in your court, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But sticking out from the crowd is probably something that you want to think about, too. Like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to stick out from the crowd? And one of the things that it's helped me was just really enjoying programming. You know, like you were saying, in fact, like, you're ready to go. You like it all. That's great. You know, some people don't feel that way.
Yeah.
So take that, while you still have that energy and that heart for it, to go out, build things, build real things by yourself,
yeah.
Put it out there. That's the stuff that's going to teach you.
Yeah. And then, yeah, work on your resume. One thing I learned was, like, and this wasn't too long ago, I was very, like, into the company, into the work, spend crazy amount of hours. And then I look at my resume, oh, this is nice, you know, I gained all this experience, but, you know, there are things here that I can definitely get better at or polish up on, certifications, things of that nature. And then I worked with this guy who was a PhD, and he had, like, an amazing amount of certifications, and I'm like, geez, like, this guy has a PhD, and, like, 7 or 10 certifications, like, what the hell am I doing? and then, yeah, so that to me till this day sits with me, and after, like, meeting him and having that experience and noticing how knowledgeable, like, he could just talk about whatever topic, that kind of inspired me to, you know, progress my own interest in education on my own time. You can find that at work, or just wake up a little early, put an hour in every day, and that enough will, you know, like I said, I just got 2 AWS certifications, so things like that make you stand out.
Yeah. Companies also sometimes pay for that.
Yeah, and they'll pay for it too, exactly, like you got the certifications and they just pay for it.
Some might be even free, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right now in your own time. HubSpot.
Yeah, and even in the work, like, they'll pay, my company went through a whole agile revamp where they wanted everyone to do agile, like, the financial folks, everyone, not just software. They were actually paying for, and it was expensive, it was like $1,000 for a 2-day course of, like, for Scrum Master training, Product Owner training, and I took all of that. I was like, it's not going to come out of my pocket.
Thank you all, and they will stay around for comments if you have questions to ask them.
Who's Turin? You Turin?
Yeah.
Right. I remember you a few years ago, like, a year ago or something.
Yep.
Like that. Yeah. So hit him up big time, too. He's a good person to run into.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
welcome. One of my favorite things. I really like to run
yeah. It's a lot of them.
Thank you.
So, you know, when you first start out, too, you don't know everything. It's good to have someone who's been through it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was telling her when I was going to school, we didn't have it. You probably didn't have
it. I don't remember. I might have had one person.
I don't remember you doing it.
Things on top and learn how to incorporate what you like and the things you didn't.
Yeah, they are planning out right now.